Chase Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason here with you. Willie D. will be along around 1 o'clock for Silly Underdog Picks. As we do every Wednesday at 12 o'clock, we say hello to Jonathan Hutton, Outkick 360, presented by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars and Edley's Barbecue. You can hand off the tailgate prep or cater your next event by calling your neighborhood Edley's today online at Edley's Barbecue or edleysbbq.com. Hut, how you doing?
Great. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys. And Chase, good to see you the other day. Same D Mace, hope things are well.
Things are. I can't complain, man. The kids are in town, so I'm happy.
So Derek won't admit it, but I'm going to see if you can remember. And I know Derek was, I think, in Baltimore most of the time when you really covered the Titans. But I was trying to get him to talk about a DB that he really got in the head of and you know, had some good chirping going on during a game. He wouldn't give me specifics, but does one come to mind for you?
So Logan Ryan, I did the Logan Ryan show, and he said that he and Jarvis Landry, that Jarvis Landry was the biggest trash talker for him on a daily basis. Look, I think there are plenty of guys who chirp. In today's game, D-Mace, if I'm a defensive back, I'm not talking much trash because the rules are already against me. So the minute that I would start, you know, chirping at a wide receiver, I'm thinking, man, I'm out here on an island, and it's about to get going again. But, you know, again, there's a difference between me and some of the top DBs in the league, for sure.
there's no doubt about that. Ryan Tannehill and Mike Vrabel were very clear on Monday that this is not a revenge game against Cincinnati. Derek's used the word redeem game for Ryan Tannehill. I think that's probably more accurate, but – I equate it to Rocky Balboa, you know, going through workouts ready to take on Ivan Drago and get revenge that way. That's what this feels like for me. I think Tannehill is going to be extra motivated come Sunday when the Bengals come to town. He knows that playoff loss is on him. And even though this is a regular season game, I think seeding is very important at this course in time. So what do you think is going through the mind of Ryan Tannehill as he gets ready for Cincinnati?
Well, I think he's thinking he's in the best position he's been in within this offense since that game going into this one because of what we've seen last Thursday. So that's first and foremost. I think he finally, again, I'm reading between the lines here. I think he knows he can push the ball down the field with Traylon Burks. I think they know that they can throw to two different tight ends now. And that's even if the run game's not necessarily going well. Henry was effective. But effective in small doses against Green Bay and in the red zone, especially really good. Revenge game, probably not. I mean, I don't think there's necessarily a revenge game from a playoff loss to a regular season win. But this is also, I think it's a great gauge for us to find out where this offense is and where Tannehill is, because against the same defense, we hope to see what the Titans did a week ago, and that was not what they could do last January. And I think I'm like most people. Since January's loss, I have been thinking about this coming January. I'd already put in marker Titans are going to the postseason out of the AFC South, and they're well on their way. But Chase, they have to be able to find the dynamic playmakers week to week in the passing game. They did that against the Packers. Now they need to do it against the Bengals. The Bengals will allow big plays as well. So I'm looking forward to what's going to be a really good game.
Yeah, I am too. Zach Taylor speaking to the media right now. Joe Mixon is still in concussion protocol. Jamar Chase, they're still taking day-to-day. Do you have a lean either way on whether Chase will be available Sunday?
I think he's going to play.
I do too.
They've been discussing this for weeks, last 2 weeks. And 2 weeks ago, just reading the reports out of Cincinnati, he wasn't going to play this past week in week 11. And the thought was this week 12 was going to be his return date in Nashville. And the Bengals have a great opportunity here as well. They come in at 6-4 needing to stay on track for a wild card spot. Because I think just based on schedule and schedule alone, looking at the Ravens' path, I mean, I don't think they play a team with a winning record, Baltimore, until the last week of the season. I think that's right. And if it's not, they play two teams with a winning record. Cincinnati, meanwhile, has got to go through a couple more teams like the Titans that are at the top of their division. And Burrow has been spinning it without Ja'Marr Chase, but with him, that really handcuffs you defensively. They had six different players last week, Chase, that caught a football for more than 20 yards without Ja'Marr Chase in the lineup. So they're going to push it. Mixon was a part of the offense last year, right before they converted and went to more of a pass first style. And he was the bell cow, but they won more games doing what they did and went on the run that they did based on throwing the ball. And Joe Mixon or not, they're going to try to mix in some runs, but this is all about Joe Burrow having time and delivering the football.
Now, Hutt, looking at this, the thing that I'm worried about, and I'm going to stick with the offense for this question, is the consistency of the offense. Because to me, you've had all this time up to this point. You've had your guys available with the exception of Traylon Burks. You had Dontrell Hilliard. You had Chika Conquil. You had playmakers that you can use in a passing game. But for whatever reason, you chose not to sort of highlight those guys in your offense. Now, you did it last week, but it was only because now Traylon Burks is back. I need to see the consistency from Downing and his coaches, this offensive coaching staff, moving forward to say, hey, listen, from here on out, we're going to make a concerted effort to identify our playmakers, and we're going to get the ball to them. And what will happen then, those other guys will get open and y'all are able to get balls too. So until they do that consistently, I'm still sort of hesitant whether this team, from an offensive standpoint, can lead them to where they want to go.
Mace, I'm going to translate for the audience what you just said. You're thrilled that Cody Hollister wasn't the number one target last week.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm with you, man. I've stood on a soapbox for 2 years saying to force feed A.J. Brown. And for whatever reason, it's like everybody – it's like Withrow coaches his girls' basketball team and everybody's got to play so many minutes. Mm-hmm. It's like starting the season, it was like, man, literally everybody's got to touch the football within the first half or they're going to try to get some of these guys a target. No, you're absolutely right. The consistency is what they've got to build on now. And that's where the optimism comes from, though. What we saw in Green Bay was just different than the downfield passing attack or the lack thereof to this point in the season. The Titans had just 15 catches from wide receivers across the four games prior to the game against the Broncos. 15 catches. Now, keep in mind, that's Malik Willis as well. Mm-hmm. But you've got Tannehill back. You have Burks back. And potentially moving forward, Kyle Phillips now, Okonkwo. The young players should be turning the corner on just getting it. Things should be able to click. And this is the time they've got to have it. I don't know if you buy into this, but I know Belichick would say like the real season starts on Thanksgiving because you have that stretch run and the best teams tend to rise to the top. The Titans are already there and everyone's beating everyone. And the Titans play a style that can win any given week. But the explosive plays, the chunk yardage, which has not been there on a consistent basis for the rushing attack, and if it has been there, it's been by running backs in the passing game, now has a chance to be much more balanced in how they go about things. And I thought Downing did a tremendous job in Green Bay, exploiting the weaknesses of Green Bay's defense, but also force feeding's maybe too strong, but making sure that they got Burks and Okonkwo involved and they hit for really big plays. They've got to do that Sunday against the Bengals because the Bengals are going to load up with the same type of game plan and force Ryan Tannehill to beat them.
Now, Hutt, on the defensive side of the ball, this defense has played lights out, and I take my hat off to them because they have been the reason why this team is in a position that they're in, because they played strong enough defense where the offense, even with their miscues, they still had a chance to win the game later in a contest. But looking at this defense, I look at two games in particular from a secondary standpoint. I look at the Buffalo game where
Yes.
Josh Allen threw for almost 400 yards. And I look at the Kansas City game where Patrick Mahomes threw over 400 yards. Now you're facing the Cincinnati team with this, what I believe have more playmakers than those two teams that you played has. So do you think this defense of secondary, do you think the secondary in general can hold up to what Cincinnati's going to present to them? Because I go back to the Buffalo game and in the Chiefs game. They were not able to do enough in the secondary to stop that those two teams. And you saw the numbers from those elite quarterbacks. Now Joe Burrow comes in here with more weapons than those two teams have. So can the defense another week rise up and do it again?
If the Bengals can protect Joe Burrow, probably not. But also keep in mind, like, hold up to what extent? Like, 400 yards passing for Mahomes, and he had the game-winning MVP-like drive in that one, just like we saw this past Sunday night against the Chargers. But the Chiefs only put up 20 points, right? Like, the Buffalo, I'm with you. Like, that was just the onslaught where that was over. But this defense does a great job of bending but not breaking. And the key with it is the pass rush. If the pass rush is what it was, and it doesn't have to be nine sacks, but if it was, if it is what it was in January, Mace, with the pass rush for Burrow this Sunday, then the secondary is going to be really helped out by the fact that they have great role players and stars up front on their defense. That's going to force the ball out fast. And I think Burrow's going to come out and have a quick trigger with that. I really do. Because there's no doubt they're going to game plan against what Vrabel and Bowen did to them in January, where they really sacked him 11 times. Mm-hmm. But two of them, the whistle was late, and they called the play back, or a player was lined up in the neutral zone that had nothing to do with the play itself. Think about that. Like, they had the same type of explosive offense then, and this defense generally does a really good job of giving up yards but not points. And now there's a feeling, again, we want more consistency. There's a feeling like the Titans offense can get 24 plus, given the fact that they have some young players that are rising to the occasion. I'll say this too. It's got to happen. What they can't have are these quick drives, three and outs, a game with, you know, 14 punts, where you and I and Michelle are up there trying to come up with the record for most punts in a game. Like, they if you're, even if you're not scoring, sustain a drive, sustain a possession. That's going to help. And the special teams, which has been really good with Stonehouse, make Burrow go the long, hard route to the end zone. Make them drive the field. So even if they go down to get seven, it's not three plays for 56 yards and a touchdown. Instead, they've got to go 10 plays for 83 yards to get seven, because that's also going to help time of possession as well. And, you know, it's 7 points for the Bengals, but it's not like they're scoring the way Buffalo did, for instance, to your point, or as easily as it was for Mahomes in overtime.
He's Jonathan Hutton, presented by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars. It's a go-to spot in Nashville for the best old-fashioned, a nice, relaxing cigar, and lots of high-end spirits and wine, and by Edley's Barbecue and Hut. With tomorrow being Thanksgiving, that's a good place to go. We'll come back with Hutton and more on the Titans and even the Vols coming up next, but tell us about Edley's Barbecue.
You know, I was at their brand-new location. I had a soft opening yesterday in Nolensville, one of their five locations now. Beautiful restaurant and great food, as always. Had the pulled pork, went with the green beans on the side along with coleslaw. Plenty of options and delicious food options at Edley's Barbecue. Meat smoked low and slow, made from scratch side dishes. And Edley's serves the best brisket that you're going to taste. They use the highest quality meats. They smoke their meats in-house daily. And Edley's, they give you that neighborhood feel. It's a tribute to all things Southern and authentic to all things Tennessee. Nashville-style barbecue, Edley's Barbecue. And check them out online, edleysbbq.com.
Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason here with you, talking with Jonathan Hutton of Outkick 360. Weekdays from 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars and by Edley's Barbecue. We are waiting for Titans offensive coordinator Todd Downing to take the podium, and we will try and bring some of that to you. But, Hut, do you agree with the decision for Mike Vrabel to basically wait on the legal process and wait on the league before making any kind of decision when it comes to Todd Downing. He said on Monday, Downing will be the offensive coordinator unless something changes with the league and the legal process.
So based on just trying to look up what could happen, two examples of non-players. By the way, and maybe Mace brought this up, if a player gets a DUI and goes to court and it's on the record, it's an automatic 3-game suspension for a player. Jim Irsay was, a handful of years back now, Jim Irsay was suspended 6 weeks and fined $500,000. And Steve Keim, the general manager out in Arizona, he, with his DUI, he was suspended for 5 games by the league and fined like half of what Irsay received, I believe, maybe in $250, $300. Point being, the NFL waited on the legal process to play out, and it was up to the team if they wanted to discipline in the moment. Of course, Irsay is the team, so we didn't see anything there. And then Steve Keim was waiting on the legal process through Arizona. I'm fine with this, and it's hard not to think about – maybe I'm the only one, but guys, if he doesn't have the best performance as offensive coordinator that he's had as OC in with the Titans, like he did in Green Bay, this would be so easy to turn things over to Tim Kelly.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about that, and now they seem to be clicking. I think this is a good sign from Vrabel. Again, the DUI is not good. But I think it's a sign by Vrabel saying, hey, we're going in the right direction. The NFL, they've shown they're going to suspend people for this. We'll wait on things to play out legally. And as that process does that, we can continue down this path, and the punishment will come whenever the punishment comes.
So, Hud, you don't think that the Titans will try to get in front of this? Because this issue can go on for another month, and then sure. You find yourself – potentially without your OC heading into the playoffs, if you're talking, because you're talking more, if you're basing it on what the players get, what has happened to owners,
yep.
Then you're basically saying he's out the whole playoffs. If indeed it comes around that time, you know, into January, mid January, you're talking about he could potentially be out the whole playoffs.
Could be. But this is where the NFL is not real life.
Mm-hmm.
You can kick the can down the road on a court appearance until February. Again, I'm not for that. I'm not saying I advocate, and that's fair. But that's, you know, that's the world we live in. And I don't think, I mean, if they wanted to get out in front of it, they would have. Mm-hmm. This was the week to do it. They had 10 days. They had 10 days. And, the NFL has the policy, and the Titans are going to sit back and wait on that policy to jump in. And look, if it does happen where he's out for the postseason or whatever, Mace, it's hypotheticals.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's on the team at that point. They're the one, but that would be the same situation anyway, honestly, because mm-hmm. if they got out in front of it now and then he came back after 3 games, I think the league would still come back over the top.
Okay, well, Todd Downing has taken the podium, so, Hutt, we're going to step away yep. and bring that because I'm going to be curious of what yes. he has to say. So thanks for doing this. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll talk
Happy
next
Thanksgiving,
week.
Hutt.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
All right. Let's go over to St. Thomas Sports Park and hear from Todd Downing.
What I've brought on. It's devastating that my actions or anything that I'm involved with could ever bring negative attention to or bring distractions to this organization, to the ownership, Miss Amy, and to the front office and obviously Coach Vrabel. I believe in myself as a man, and I believe that I will answer the bell to lead this offense going forward. I thank Coach Vrabel and John Robinson and Miss Amy for allowing me the opportunity to lead this offense going into this weekend. And these guys in the locker room, they deserve for me to put my best efforts forth in that. Because of the nature of the situation, I know there are a lot of questions. I know people are looking for details and answers, and unfortunately, because of the situation, I'm not able to discuss quite a bit of that evening. And at the proper time, when appropriate, I will answer any questions that I can.
How distracting is this for you this week in terms of you trying to go through your normal work week?
It's not a catchphrase or a tagline that this is a family here, and these guys have really helped me focus on the job they deserve for me to do for them. So I've been working hard to try to compartmentalize my dealings with my duties here.
The rideshare availability here, is that well communicated here, and you aware of that?
Yes. Yes.
So why not use it?
I can't get into the specifics of that night.
Did you drink here or on the plane?
I can't get into the specifics of that night.
There was one report that stated that you had received that you communicated that you had been receiving death threats. Is that report accurate? And if so, can you elaborate on that?
I mentioned how much my family's already been through, and that is a portion of what I am not at liberty to discuss at the moment.
Did you call the authorities about such matters?
I understand there are a lot of questions, and I wish that I were able to just lay everything out, but I'm not able to comment on the events that night right now.
Do you have any sense of it?
To rebuild trust with this organization after what happened?
I try to build trust every single day in this organization. I feel as though for 20-plus years in this business, I've worked hard to try to create and maintain an identity. I've tried to live strong in my faith and be a man of high character. And my hope is that the feeling that these players and the guys that I work with, that their response has been genuine, and that that track record speaks for itself.
I know you said you can't address the events from that night, but the death threats, is that something that you had experienced before that night? Is that something that has been ongoing?
I appreciate the timeline and trying to be sensitive to not talking about that night. I'm not going to get into that portion of things at this time.
How do you approach this with the
discipline might be coming? Or I mean, have they given you any potential timetable so that you're not just sitting wondering every day?
Right now my focus is on being a great offensive coordinator today, and I will take face on everything as it comes. But I owe it to these guys to focus on today and my duties today.
Is there a plan in place in case the league comes down and hands out discipline at an unexpected time?
I'm fairly certain you discussed that with Coach Vrabel. That would be a question for him and his plan.
Did you ever consider not coaching this week, or was it always the plan to kind of wait out the league?
I love this team. And I love the men I get to work with, and I love the role that I've been entrusted to be a part of. And as long as they allow me to do that, I want to be great at that role.
Todd, kind of separate from that incident, but just how difficult has this season been for you personally?
I'm well aware of the pressures, the responsibilities, and the expectations that come with the privilege of coaching in this league. And each season's going to have its own challenges. I'm a man that wants to step up and answer challenges, and I believe that I've tried to do that and will continue to do that given the opportunity.
Is this the toughest challenge you've had to face in your career?
Can't think of much tougher.
As far as football goes, what's the challenge this week against the Bengals, and how much different do they look maybe compared to the team you saw in January?
Yeah, appreciate you turning it to football. This is a very talented unit. Obviously, they bring some things schematically that are a challenge. They can create matchup issues, and they're a well-coached unit who isn't going to give you anything simply based off missed assignments. So we have our work cut out for us. We need to be detailed in our assignments. We need to play with speed and urgency and confidence, and that's what we're focused on this week, is making sure that we build off of the positives from the Green Bay game and attack this opponent.
From a divisional game against Cincinnati to now, obviously there's a lot of turnover on the roster, but you're a common thread. How do you approach this game? Is it a revenge game or a redemption type of game, or do you try to look at it where it's just another opportunity to prove yourself?
I think you have to look at each week as its kind of own storyline. And there are a lot of people on this offense that were not here for that divisional round. And so to make it anything like a revenge game or a get-back game, you know, would isolate those new characters in our story. And so we're really approaching this thing as another opportunity to go out there, improve, and build on some of the things that we did the other night in a positive manner and help this team win another game.
How surprising is it to see, you know, 10 games in a season, Dontrell Hilliard leading the team in touchdown catches with four, and, you know, what does it say about him and what he has done?
Yeah, not sure I would have guessed he'd be leading the team, but certainly not surprised at his success. He works extremely hard. We saw in training camp the efforts that he put into learning some of those schemes and building a rapport with Ryan. And so I'm very happy for him, proud of Dontrell.
What's made him so effective?
One more time, I'm sorry.
Dontrell Hilliard, especially in the red zone, what do you think has made him so effective?
Yeah, again, just building that rapport and that trust with Ryan of being where Ryan expects him to be when he expects him to be there.
Is the intention now to try to get the ball to Traylon more?
I think Traylon's grown each week that he's been back. And again, confidence is such a huge thing. When he can go play fast and play with confidence, it gives him the ability to create some separation and go make some of those contested plays. And then obviously the quarterback builds confidence in him each time that he sees that happen. So, you know, Traylon's an important piece of this offense, and look forward to seeing his role continue to grow.
Effort to see his role grow differ from the effort to see Chig's role grow, which you guys have talked about for the better part of 6 weeks, but you haven't targeted more than two or three times a game?
Yeah, he's made his targets count. And, you know, they play a little bit different roles in personnel packages in terms of how many receivers and tight ends you get on the field for different jobs and things like that. So I see them as kind of two separate entities.
That's Todd Downing, Titans offensive coordinator, addressing the media. A few things that we want to comment on, we'll do that. We'll get to ask D-Mace after that as well. But your thoughts on Todd Downing and his address to the media coming up next here on Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason. Willie's going to join us at the top of the hour. We'll do Ask D-Mace coming up in about 5 minutes. But just heard from Todd Downing, Titans offensive coordinator. He had an opening statement, and he, you know, obviously expressed his regret for the decisions that he made, but then he wouldn't get into any details that happened that night. I understand it's an ongoing legal situation. So I know there's two ways to look at this, because some of you are going, why even talk if you can't answer any questions? Mm-hmm. That's fair to ask that. But I think there was a time where any tough situation like this, you know, the Titans would take him and lock him in a room and not let him out. You know, so I at least will applaud them, and I have a feeling Mike Vrabel has a lot to do with it, for letting him go up and do his weekly press conference and talk and get pelted with those questions. I applaud the media for asking the questions, even though they knew he probably wasn't going to be able to answer them. You know, the report that came out that there have been death threats from people, which is just nuts. It's just football. I don't know why we go down that road, but that, you know, he was worried about his family's safety, those things, and then the events of that night, which he wouldn't get into. So I understand it's a legal matter. I understand there's not much he can talk about right now. We'll see if he does at some point in time, but I ultimately am glad that he, you know, quote unquote face the music, because that's what he did. And can't imagine what that situation's like, but you know, when you make a mistake, that's what you got to do.
Yeah, I think it was good that he, you know, because he does this, if I'm not mistaken, they do this weekly with the
coordinators. Talk once a week.
And this is, I'm sure, a NFL rule where the coordinators have to, address the media for questions. So they, you know, it's good that they still put him out there. I think he would have looked real bad had they not. Just stick with the program, because I've always said that when you are the interviewee, you have control over the interview. Again, when you are the interviewee, you have control over how the interview goes. You have control over how, you know, the narrative is constructed. And he did a good job, and I'm sure Vrabel and Robinson and Amy, they all, you know, they all talk with him and listen, this is the script. You need to stick to it. This is how we control the narrative.
He had
this
the cue cards.
We control the press conference. Just stick to, you know, what we've been saying and you will be fine. And he stuck to it to a T. But here's what I want to address, and you addressed it a little bit, Chase. People, it's just a football game. It's a football game. And I'm going to repeat this again. It's a football game that these men played when they were kids. And only thing now is they're getting paid to play the game. It's not that damn serious to be sending damn death threats because of a game. Get a life. Seriously. It's not that damn serious. If the man, if he's not doing an adequate job, eventually they will get rid of him. You sending death threats is not going to make that happen any faster.
Right.
He's not going to walk away because you're doing that. That's just asinine to me. Why do that? I don't get it. It's a football game. We try to get away from everything else and make football football or sports sports. But then there are these people that bring their outside into this world. For what reason? Just because you're angry? Why are you angry? Are you angry because you're betting? Well, damn it, stop betting on the Titans, or stop betting on the offense.
Hey, they've covered 8 in a row.
Exactly. Are you angry because the Titans are not scoring enough points? They're winning. It's not that damn serious that you have to send this man. He has a family. He's doing the best job that he can, okay? And his job doesn't, you know, move the needle in regards to how this world is going to turn. It's a game. Leave it at that, okay? That's just, I don't, Chase, I just don't, it makes me boil.
I know.
Because if you don't like his job, then don't comment. Don't send him nothing.
Right.
Or just say you're not doing a good job. Or you can say, hey, you need to be fired. I'm good with that. But to send the man death threats, his family seeing this, man, what's
I know. I agree with you.
I think everybody that sends stuff like that, their picture should be posted everywhere. Their picture, their address, and everything else.
The only thing I will say is, why did the death threat report come up after that happened?
Yeah,
only thing I'm gonna say is because I believe it to probably be true because people are silly.
Yeah, people just take this. I understand you have a passion for your team. I get that and continue to have that passion. But there's a line where that passion shouldn't cross.
Yeah.
It just shouldn't.
I agree.
You can say fire Downey all you want. You can call this show every day and say they need to fire Downey. That's cool. Do it. We will accept every call that says you want to fire Downey. But to take it further than that, I'm not cool with. Regardless of when it came out, to me, okay, whatever. But him having to go through that, you know, it's sad. It really is. But listen, they put him in and they said, listen, stick to the script. This is what you're going to say. Do not, and I repeat, do not deviate from that script. And yep. He didn't.
And he did. He did a good job with that. All right, load up the line, 615-737-1025. You can call or text. We're going to do a quick segment of Ask D-Mace. We have a couple of pairs of tickets on the line for Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin experience, which will be November 30th at the Ryman. But you must participate. Call or text. Questions for D-Mace. It can be football, Thanksgiving, what have you. 615-737-1025.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards. And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 615-737-1025 on the line. A couple of pairs of tickets. We'll give more than one winner. Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin experience at Ryman Auditorium, November 30th. You can call, you can text. Some questions for Ask D-Mace. A quick version because we got to get to Silly Underdog Picks coming up next.
Ask D-Mason, people, come on!
Let's go to Mark. Mark on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. D-Mace, as a former NFL player, I understand it's a family mentality, but how would you feel about your coach in this situation, when you do everything you can to abide by the rules, et cetera, as a player, would it be hard to trust him?
You'd be disappointed, just like you would be disappointed with the player if he did it. But you look at a person's track record, and if this is just, you know, one of those things that happen, it's just one of those isolated incidents, then you can be two things at the same time. You could be disappointed in your head coach or your offensive coordinator in this situation. But you'd also can stand with him and, you know, continue to encourage him. You know, if indeed this is – if it's just an isolated incident, I think everybody deserves a second chance with just about anything. Not everything, but just about anything. But, you know, you don't turn your back on – you know, I don't expect them to turn their backs on Downing because of this one situation. Now, if it continues to happen, then obviously, you know, he will not have a job here any longer. But you stand with them. You continue to encourage however way you can, and you just try to move on the best way you know how to do as a team.
Let's go to the phone, 615-737-1025. Tim has a question for Ask D-Mace. Tim, welcome in.
Hey, D-Mace, how's it going?
It's going well.
Real quick, I want to ask you a question, and I assure you this is all real. But anyway, a couple weeks ago, my brother went into ICU with seizures. 2 weeks ago, my sister went into ICU with double pneumonia, and she was bleeding into her lungs. Last week, I went into the hospital with irregular heartbeat. And this morning, on the way to work, I had taken my truck to get the oil changed, and they forgot to put oil in my truck, so I seized the engine on the way to work this morning. So my question is, should I bet Cincinnati this weekend? Because with my luck, chances are Cincinnati will lose and thus ensure a Tennessee win.
Oh, man.
Tim.
Goodness, Tim.
I appreciate the sense of humor. And
yes.
I hope that everything works out, because that's a lot that you've gone through.
Yeah, that is a lot over such a short span.
You can go ahead and give him tickets, Nick.
Yeah, you've been through a lot. And I do, you know, like Chase said, I do hope everything has working out in those certain situations with your family members and yourself. Hope everything is fine now. But betting on, I mean, hey, I don't know, but I know one thing, you're going to win a set of tickets. So your luck has changed somewhat. There you go.
D-May, this is from David in Arkansas. D-May, since tomorrow is Thanksgiving, what is your perfect Thanksgiving meal?
Ooh, perfect Thanksgiving meal. Because I don't eat meat, I love sides. Whether it's mac and cheese, green beans, whatever sides you have, just about. That's the perfect meal for me. You know, and just being with my family. I don't even have to eat a meal. Just being with my family tomorrow is going to be enough. So whatever we cook, I'm going to enjoy it regardless. But obviously, I'm not eating the turkey or anything else meat related. So
okay, one more from Stephanie. Can you please ask Derek this? Yes, I will. If Derek Henry's career ends without ever winning a Super Bowl, does he make it into the Hall of Fame?
Ooh, you know, I was thinking about that seriously the other day, Stephanie. And right now, if, you know, say he retires and he has right at 10,000 yards with no Super Bowl, I think it's different, or it should be different with running backs or receivers or anybody else in regards to Super Bowls. But I would vote him in. You know, because he has done things that no other running back has done, or he has done things that only the great ones have done. And those guys are in the Hall of Fame now. This is a different era of football. This is more of a pass heavy era of football that we're in. So for Derrick Henry to be able to do the things that he's doing is remarkable. And if he retired, say in the next 2 years, and has over 10,000 yards or 10,000 yards, I think he should be in, because he would be, you know, his yards per carry would be over 4 yards per carry.
Yeah.
He would have damn near 100 touchdowns, if not 100.
Yep.
So he should be in.
All right. Good participation. We will text some winners and let them know that they have won. But coming up next, silly underdog picks. 102.5, 106.3, the game.